We'll take up the next ordinance, which is 1008, please.
Waive Title 33, Planning and Zoning, to allow short-term temporary public use of an indoor track and field facility at 2400 Northwest Front Avenue from December 1, 2015 through February 28, 2016.
Okay, come on up, please, Catherine, and the rest of the team on this one, Kimberly. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Catherine Beaumont, Portland City Attorney's Office. The council has seen one ordinance previously concerning this proposed event. In August, you adopted an ordinance waiving certain requirements of the zoning code to allow the track to be completed at a warehouse in Terminal 1 owned by the Bureau of Environmental Services. The ordinance before you will allow the track, once completed, to be used as a what's called a pop-up track and field facility for youth and collegiate track and field events from December 1st to February 15th of next year. The warehouse is located in a heavy industrial zone. Use of the track as a track and field facility for this interim period of time is classified as community service use, which is allowed in an industrial zone but subject to significant restrictions. It's in a greenway zone. It's in a planned district. There are other limitations on this proposed use. What you have before you is a very limited time code waiver that is based on both the short-term and temporary nature of the use of this track and field facility use at the warehouse, and is also based on the unique nature of the use and the track and championship events giving rise to that use. Kimberly Talent with the Bureau of Development Services can walk you through specifically what this ordinance proposes to waive.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Talent with BDS. I will speak to the specific code section waivers that are included in the ordinance. So as was mentioned previously, the site's heavy industrial with a river industrial overlay zone. So a number of provisions need to be waived. That includes the requirement for a conditional use review to allow community service use in the heavy industrial zone. Also included is the parking and loading requirements that apply to this use, so that improvements do not need to be made to the site. The third item is for waiver of non-conforming upgrades. There's also the waiver of the requirement for a greenway review to allow a non-river dependent river-related use at the site. And then lastly, a waiver of the development standards that apply to the greenway overlay zone.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Straightforward enough. Okay, thank you both. Now, I believe there are going to be some amendments to deal with here. First, an amendment, I believe, to remove the emergency clause. Is there a motion to
second.
That?
Second. So moved.
Second.
Further discussion of that, so we'll take off the emergency clause and it will come back for action next week. Roll call on removing the emergency clause.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye. Okay, and then are there, I have some substantive amendments as well, is that right? Do we still need to adopt changes to finding 5 and directive D that we have in front of us? Council all have copies of that. I've got it here in front of me.
No, I don't.
So could we get some more copies of this amendment, please, for the council? Maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry, I do. 5 and 6? 5 and directive
make sure
D?
I have the right one.
Yes, finding 6, finding 5 and directive D.
I do have that, thank
yeah.
you.
So these are findings and directives that just, as I understand it, characterize the policy basis for the short-term use of the BES site, and it's still intended that BES is going to sell the site, but since it's not likely that'll happen this winter, to lease it to Tracktown for use of, for this purpose is a good short-term use. So I think Commissioner Fish, you and your office, I think, helped prepare these. Would you like to make the motion to adopt them?
Are they one consolidated? Or are they?
I think we can do it as a single set of amendments since
so
we
moved.
Have them both before us. Second.
Second.
Any council questions about these amendments? Okay, so let's vote to accept the amendments, and then we'll take public testimony if there is some.
Novick?
Aye.
Rich?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, now let's hear from the team on this this particular element of the project, which is going to be fun and interesting as well.
Hello again, and I feel like each time I come here, I come presenting great new ideas that we need help with. So I'd like to thank the council for its consideration of this ordinance and the unique opportunity that this ordinance will help to facilitate. Tracktown USA is contracted for the construction of a brand new, purpose-built 200-meter track and infield for the World Championships. We are confident this track will be fast and very, very capable of helping the athletes of the world set new personal bests at every level. With the city's assistance and lease of Warehouse 3, we have a fantastic location in which to complete the assembly and finishing of the track prior to its installation in the Convention Center in late February. As we kind of thought through the logistics and the schedule for the track construction, we realized that there will be a time period between its completion and when we can move to the OCC. While it will be possible to pack the track up and put it back in containers and hold on to it, we realized that the opportunity existed to introduce the youth and other members of the community to the sport of track and field, and to stage actually a limited number of track meets for youth, high schoolers, and all-comers meets, collegiate, track and field, and others. We have quietly discussed this idea within the community, and there has been overwhelming support and excitement for the idea. We have a number of collegiate track and field programs that expressed a strong interest in using the facility for training and for meets. We've talked to the OSAA about the idea of creating a short high school indoor track and field season. We believe that there are great opportunities to introduce middle schoolers to indoor track through clinics and through various meets. We love the idea of all-comers meets and even thought about the idea of getting the City Council to run against the Multnomah County Commission. We've had a bunch of volunteers for that. Or at least we can put the Portland Police Bureau versus the Portland Fire Department. But truthfully, this is truly a lifetime opportunity to introduce to the youth of our community the fun of running in a world-class indoor track, the very track that will be used by the world's best athletes in the USA's and in the World Championships just a week later. With the approval of this ordinance, Tracktown will be in position to secure sponsorship partners and immediately commence the detailed planning and design of programming for the pop-up track facility. Tracktown and our group is excited about this unique project. We appreciate the council's support of the idea, and we look forward to revealing the Tracktown track house to the community in December. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Ben on this piece? Oh, Ben, don't leave yet. Got a question. Hey, Ben, we got a question for you. Come back.
What's the plan for dealing with parking and other transportation issues related to a fairly significant community service use at this site?
It's a good question, and I think that I would be remiss if I didn't say that thank Doug Obletz, who has actually put together and worked with the various city staff and the commissioner's staff to work on all of these things. And we feel as though we have a really good plan for it. There's plenty of parking out there. We have an ability to be able to create a safe environment. We will fence off the facility to be sure that there are no difficulties with it. It couldn't be a better site to do something like this. There are venues throughout the country and other parts of the country where this takes place, but this would be a unique opportunity for Portland, and we feel we can directly affect those things.
Has the Portland Bureau of Transportation reviewed the transportation management plan?
I believe so.
I believe so.
And what did the neighbors have to say about it, the adjacent businesses?
I really couldn't answer that question at this point, but I think it's a good question for us to ask, and perhaps Doug can respond to it.
Doug, got some background on that? Please come on up.
Good afternoon. Doug Obletz, representing Tracktown USA. We've been working very closely with the Bureau of Environmental Services on defining the site area that we'll have. At this point, we believe we'll have over 3 acres of yard area around the warehouse would be used for parking, some of which may not be usable and at certain times of the season because of a little bit of ponding on the area, but plenty of area for parking. It's a relatively low traffic area out on Front Avenue. We don't anticipate any problems. As far as briefing the neighbors, we have not done so yet because until today, we don't know if we have this opportunity, but we will be engaging in outreach with the limited number of neighbors that are in the immediate vicinity of the track house.
It's a site that doesn't have a lot of neighbors in the conventional sense.
It does not.
Right. It does have adjacent businesses, and usually Title 33 and the processes that you go through allow a possibility for neighborhood input or for neighbors' impact, adjacent property owners' impact. So if you could do that before the vote next week, I'd really appreciate it. Because we're essentially waiving people's rights here as well as facilitating this project going forward. So I'd like to know what the people whose rights are being waived have to say about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good point. Thank you. Other questions for either Van or Doug? Thank you both very much. And then I think we have some folks here to speak on this item as well. Is that right?
Public testimony?
Yes, please.
Okay. We have 5 people signed up. The first 3, please, coming up are Evan Yeager, Dion Keaton, and Chad Colwell.
Welcome. Come on up. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Good afternoon. How's it going?
Good. So who's on first? Evan?
Yeah, sure. Please. I'll go first. I'll introduce myself. My name is Evan Yeager. I am a professional track athlete who trains here in Portland, sponsored by Nike for the Bowerman Track Club. I've lived here for the past 7 years, and I'm a 2012 Olympian and American record holder in the 3,000-meter steeplechase. How I feel about the community and the opportunity to have this pop-up track. I think it's a great idea for mainly the youth and also just the general public. I think that when I moved here to Portland 7 years ago, I realized that it was a much more active community than I had originally expected. Just with how much it rains and everything, I didn't really think people would be outside exercising all the time, but I quickly realized that it is a very active community. But I do not think that the general public knows much about track and field. I know that a lot of the youth and high schoolers have a pretty rich understanding of track and field with all the success that the University of Oregon has had over the years. But that being said, we as professional athletes don't really get many opportunities to work with the youth or see the youth throughout the year outside of probably the Prefontaine Classic at the University of Oregon. So I think giving the community an opportunity to come out to the pop-up track and really get a sense of what it's like to run indoors and have the opportunity to run a season that they're not used to, I think it would be a really cool opportunity for them, as well as us professionals being able to go to some of those events and reach out to the public and really get to know our small running community on a closer basis, I guess. Outside of just being able to interact with the public, I think it would be great for the elite athletes that would hope to be competing at the indoor championships. We don't get many opportunities to race on indoor banked 200-meter tracks here on the West Coast. You pretty much have to travel to New York or Boston to do so, and it would just give us a good opportunity to get used to the feel of the track and what it's like to run on that type of environment and that type of track, and just get used to that and best prepare ourselves for the U.S. Championships and the Indoor World Championships.
Can I just say something about Mr. Yeager? It's Mr. Yeager, right?
Jaeger.
Jaeger, excuse me. So Doug Oblitz gave me a fact sheet, and we don't often have North American record holders here. So, and I, by the way, just have to share with you my credentials. 30 years ago, I ran the Turkey Trot in Washington, D.C., which is a 5K race on Thanksgiving, and I got an award for finishing it.
So congratulations.
In my family, that actually was the canop or something. So you're the North American record holder in the 3,000-meter steeplechase.
Mm-hmm.
You're the 13th fastest performer in the history of this event. And the thing that I just jumped out in the sheet for me was that over 3,000 meters, you have to overcome 28 barriers and 7 water jumps. And any one of those can be a hazard that prevents you from finishing the race.
Yes.
So when I was thinking about 3,000 meters, 28 barriers, 7 water jumps, it occurs to me that when you retire from the sport, you're perfectly prepared for a life of politics. you spent your life dodging barriers and water jumps.
Yeah.
But anyway, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Who'd like to be next?
I will. My name is Chad Cole. I'm the assistant track and field coach at University of Portland. I also work with the Oregon Sports Authority in conjunction with Tracktown, hosting, organizing the Tracktown Youth League, which was a series of 12 meets across the state of Oregon, had over 1,000 youth participate free. Primary reason was to expose youth athletes to track and field across the state. There are a few coaches here in the room who can talk to the points of what benefits this facility will have throughout the year, specifically for their athletes, track and field at high school, college levels. I also want to address an important issue of what this track in this facility could provide for the youth of Oregon, for Portland, for the Northwest. The legacy component of this track, being the surface, the track that's going to be used at the World Indoors, for a kid to be exposed to track and field at that level, it could be something that will stick with them for the rest of their lives. Oregon and Portland is steeped in track and field and running history. The athletes that kind of defined our sport, the Jaegers, Ashton Eatons, Galen Rupps, Steve Prefontaines. This track, the availability for the youth of Oregon and Portland to compete on this track could create a movement which might give us the next Ashton Eaton, the next Galen Rupp. And those people have an influence, and I think they're going to be, as Evan mentioned, eager to be a part of it and to engage the youth of the committee when these events, if they're able to happen, will occur. And I think the legacy component of having this facility will be a huge, huge influence to the youth of Oregon and Portland.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hi. Dion Keaton here. I'm the youth chair for USATF Oregon, as well as a regional coordinator for USATF for the Pacific Northwest. This is kind of like near and dear to my heart because as of last year, this indoor track is something that I have been trying to spearhead for about the last 2 years, specifically for the youth committee, our youth community. You know, we compete at a national level in outdoor from the Pacific Northwest. And then when you go to these national meets and we compete against kids from the East Coast, you talk to the coaches, you talk to the other board members from the East Coast and kind of get ideas of, you know, how they do their training throughout the year and how their kids become so successful for these outdoor seasons. And, you know, 90% of the time they say year-round training. You know, they have access to indoor facilities that we don't. And, you know, it just started, you know, to boggle my mind that in the area where we get rain more than 200 days a year, there's not a facility in which we can take advantage of. I know for a fact that the interest is there. We just started an indoor program last year running with Chad through the University of Portland. When we started that season earlier, you know, we had an indoor program for middle schoolers and older, but there was nothing for kids, you know, 10 or younger. And that is the largest demographic for youth track and field as far as numbers are concerned. So that's, you know, that's my focus on getting exposure and awareness, not only in the Portland metro area, but trying to get that out in Oregon State as a whole. You know, so working with Tracktown USA as well as USATF to kind of bring Seattle and Idaho and the Inland Northwest, which is the Spokane Eastern Oregon area, on board for indoor track growth within Pacific Northwest is something that, you know, I'm continually working on. And this opportunity here, you know, when Chad, you know, brought it up to me and said, would you speak? I was like, you know, it's a no-brainer. It's something that I'm really passionate about. And, you know, the community as a whole has spoken to me personally about their interest in, you know, having an indoor program and a year-round program for those kids that don't have interest in fall and winter sports. They just want to run. And having that opportunity is something that is great. So, you know, I can't speak highly enough of, you know, having the opportunity to have, you know, the youth specifically run in a facility like this, not to mention that the tie to the world indoors is there, but just for them to have exposure would be huge to set up for success throughout the year. So that's my piece.
Great. Thank you.
I want to thank all three of you for taking the time to come in today and to speak about your own experience with this event and with the sport of athletics. And Mr. Jago, one of my father's best friends in college was Chris Brasher, who won the 1956 steeplechase in Sydney and went on to create the London Marathon.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, so I just really appreciate your coming to tell us of your own experience, and it's wonderful to have a group of talented young people who are dedicating your time and effort to this event.
It's great, and I want to say I really appreciate the spirit of trying to reach out to the youth of the city and get them engaged. I mean, you all have found your calling with track, but you want to share it, and mm-hmm. that's really a wonderful thing. And in fact, one of the things that we're proud of as a city this year is that this council approved some additional funding in our budget to make our community centers free and available for teenagers across the city. So Dishman Community Center was free all summer, and now we're expanding that to other parts of the park system. And Commissioner Fritz and I were there at the first night when Montevilla Community Center became a free teen center. So there's a whole community effort, and this is really going to fit perfectly with that to try to get kids engaged in sports and activities, and let them know that the adults in the community actually want them to do these mm-hmm. things, and we're going to try to make it easy for them. So that's what this will do as well. So it's perfectly in sync with what this council believes and what the community wants us to do more of.
My concern, though, Mary, you just reminded me, I got berated recently in the newspaper for some of our tennis courts are not in their best shape. I'm kind of concerned about the whole pole vault event. I'm anticipating that in March of next year I'm going to get hundreds of angry emails about the lack of pole vaulting facilities in Portland, and what am I going to do about it?
Well, that'll be a good problem to have.
Yeah, that's a good problem.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having us.
Coming.
Thank you.
Anyone else that's signed up?
Oh, we have two more signed up, Doug Wynn and Jonathan Marcus.
Come on up, please. Okay. Welcome.
My name's Doug Wynn. I coach at Grant. A few years ago, Mayor Hales, you came to my leadership class.
Right. Yeah, it's good to see
really
you again.
Great. I just want to speak, first of all, to note the commitment to youth that you've already shown, not just with your speeches, but with your actions. And what we're here today is a slice of that, focusing on track and field for our youth in Portland. As a coach, that particular sport, out of swimming and soccer and softball and those kind of sports, this sport is the most diverse. Certainly at Grant and across the school to school, it is the most diverse. Has tons of low-income kids in it. But the thing about track and field, it's so open to different body types that you can be a really little person and still do something great in track and field. And there's not that narrow a range of genetics that you have to be to be involved in it and really get a huge benefit. I'm sure you know the research about athletics that fewer pregnancies in high school, drug use, much better academics, especially at Grant. It's such a huge difference between kids in sports and those that aren't in terms of that pull. But what we're asking for you today is a bridge, because a lot of kids will come to Grant with lots of fervor and join my cross-country team. They'll join the football team, all these other fall sports. But it's a really tough going for to make that bridge all the way to spring. There are some winter sports that draw some, but a lot of kids they don't have a chance to really play the game of track and field. And it's so wide open. We have a huge team. We have 200 kids at Grant that are doing track and field. We could have even quite a few more kids if we could get that bridge to have that reach more kids. This is a sport that fights child obesity head on. I mean, it's just really keeping people in shape. And we have a kid at Grant who can long jump 24 feet, and he only can go, there's no way in the winter for an indoor track and field that he has any place to go in the state of Oregon. No way. He always has to go to Boise. He always has to go to Seattle. This would be a golden opportunity for him. But really, I think my emphasis more is on that democratic masses of Portland youth that would really benefit to be in the game, and you'd be giving them this chance to be participating in that. So really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you very much.
Just pulled something up on my phone because I need to be reminded. So the University of Portland Lady Pilot soccer team kicks off its league play tonight.
Yeah.
And I will be there. And the starting midfielder is a young woman named Parks Kendrick.
Yes, on my team. And she won the state championship with her.
She won 4 varsity letters for Grant, won a state championship in track and field. And
you know your stuff.
Well, it's on my phone. So
you got it. Wow, I'm impressed.
And her secret weapon, because you mentioned size is not a barrier in track, she is usually the most petite player on the field, but she's the secret weapon for the team because she can get back the fastest on defense.
Yeah,
she never stops.
You
can never beat her.
Yeah. This sport teaches grit, and any of the current research on success in school and staying in school, even getting all the way through the end line at college, is learning to have grit to overcome adversity. This sport just tackles that head on, so we really appreciate a chance to play during the winter as well as in the spring.
It also benefits from some passionate coaches, obviously, so thank you.
We are. Both and Marcus, yeah.
That's great. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm Jonathan Marcus. I am the head cross-country and assistant track coach at Clackamas Community College. Most recently, for the previous 3 years, I was the assistant track and cross-country coach at Portland State. Before that, University of Portland, Warren Pacific, and I started out coaching against Doug at Franklin High School in Southeast Portland. Go Quakers.
He didn't just start out there. He was a star runner at Franklin. I'm old enough to remember him when he's a high school kid at Franklin.
I, for college, went from Franklin back east to New York City and had the joy of experiencing the Armory, which is the fabled indoor facility right there in the heart of Manhattan. The thing that separates like indoor track from outdoor track is really the intimacy of the event. You have the spectators and coaches right on top of you. Imagine, you know, the most wild Blazer game you ever thought of. That's the Armory every single night for a track meet going on from November all the way to April. You know, that excitement and enthusiasm we have for high school athletics or for athletics in general, you know, for the playoff football or playoff soccer or playoff basketball. But we don't really have that for track and field. You get that at the state meet only, but that's about it. Here's an opportunity to, like, encapsulate that track and field. Indoor track and field is a sport that matters to these kids. And, you know, as you guys may or may not be aware, track and field is the number one participated high school sport in America, with just under 500,000 girls participating in 2005, just over 500,000 boys in 2015. Yet, in the state of Oregon, we only have just under 17,000 athletes. So 7.8 million high school athletes participate in sports throughout America every year. 15% of that's track and field. But yet, of that 1 million student athletes participating in high school track and field, only 17,000 is coming from the quote-unquote home or hub of track and field in Oregon. And that's because we miss a lot of opportunities to expose these kids while they're young to the sport. That's why this, you know, highly dense Portland metro area is very, very critical, because the Armory's model is there's always activity going on in that indoor track facility pretty much year-round. A guy who lives here in Portland goes back and helps coordinate the Armory's effort. And when I came from Portland to New York City to participate in collegiate track, indoor track was a foreign phenomenon. I didn't get it. I didn't know what it was, but I immediately fell in love with it. Since then, I put together the Tuesday Night at the Races All-Comer Series at University in Portland, which has been going on for 6 years strong. Now we have 200 people, six Tuesday nights in January and February, come to UP and participate in what I call as much as you can eat track, $5, three races. You can run one, you can run all three, as much as you can eat. And that's kind of working with Dion and Chad where the idea spurred for the youth under 10 age component. This one's been geared towards eighth grade and over. So there's an immense opportunity here for that engagement for not only our own state to help increase participation of track and field, but also, too, to help broaden the diversity available. Because as a collegiate track coach now for the last several years, that is the number one sport that you see, especially minority women, participating in with the least barriers to and the most opportunities of funding. And so the more we can provide those women with that opportunity, I think, the better we can all feel about ourselves and the more fun we can all have just going to a track meet, eating a hot dog, and watch people run fast, jump far, and throw crazy, crazy far. Thanks.
Thank you both. Questions. Thank you very much for coming. Appreciate very much being here. Looking forward to doing this with you.
Thanks.
Anyone else that wants to speak? So we've adopted the amendments, and if there are unless any other questions, we'll move this forward to the next week. So.
Well, I do want to clarify that I'd like to know that everybody who would have been notified in any of the processes that we're waiving has been notified at least. I mean, obviously, there won't be enough time for them to respond before next week, but I'd like to make sure that the notice has been given to the right associations and...
So, yeah, good suggestion. So perhaps the Bureau of Development Services can help the... Tracktown USA folks with the list of property owners within the normal perimeter for notice.
Also, BES was happy to help because as part of the surplus property disposition process,
we
had to do public notice. So we'll compare our list with Tony's list and whoever else's list. And we shouldn't have to reinvent the wheel. I think we have some existing lists.
Okay.
And we'll work with the team to make that happen.
Thank you.
Okay, good suggestion. Thank you all very much. This will be on our regular council calendar for a vote next week. Thank you. And we are adjourned.
Commissioner, can I grab you for a second?
Cool.